reading today from the book of Hebrews, the first 8 verses of the 13th chapter. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For it has been said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. And then from the Gospel of Luke, starting at the 14th chapter, we'll spend some time this month in this text. Listen for this word from God. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. And when he noticed how the guests chose places of honors, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowliest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, that one may say to you, friend, move up higher. And then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus also said to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they will not repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jesus in Luke talks about food more than in any of the other Gospels. It is perhaps not a coincidence that for physician Luke wants to talk about food, as it is directly related to nutrition and physical health. Perhaps. And here, Jesus, we get a picture of the practical Jesus. This is not the theological Jesus. This is not the air in the clouds Jesus. This is the practical Jesus. When you go to a wedding feast, don't sit up front. Sit in the back. Because if you sit up front, like you're the one who has the highest place of honor, and the governor who always comes late to everything, his plane doesn't land till late, and he comes walking in after the 6th course of the 7-course meal has already been presented. They're going to come up to you and say, hey, you, get out of the governor's seat. Go sit at the end of the row. And you're going to look like a fool. Practical Jesus. Practical Jesus. He says, if you throw a party, don't invite the rich and the fancy, because if you invite the rich and the fancy, they're just going to invite you to their rich, fancy party later. You're going to be repaid. Practical Jesus. He says, instead, invite the poor, the lame, the crippled, the outcast, those who nobody wants to your party, because there ain't no way those folks are going to repay you. Okay, practical but odd Jesus. Jane and I have been reading a book. Tell me what it's called again. I forget the name. We Will Feast is the name of the book. It is a book that starts out, it's written by a nutritionist who went to theology school, so you know it's going to be bizarre from the start, right? And she talks, one of the things she talks about is how we have lost the ability in our culture to appreciate feasting as an intimate activity. Think about how you eat. You drive through, you grab a sandwich, you shove it down your gullet, and you keep going. If you really want to think about how your kids and grandkids eat. Families don't sit at tables anymore. They grab a snack, they eat it in the van on the way. They grab a juice, they drink it before they go to Taekwondo. They get 20 minutes. Teachers, how many minutes do they get for lunch? They get 30. Send all your kids to Weir Middle School because they get 30 minutes. Everybody else only gets 20. 20 minutes. They shove their food down their gullet, and we wonder why they have no manners, and they all have indigestion. One of the things that's in this book that is marvelous is she talks about intimate physical relationships between people. And she says, just as you could have a physical relationship with someone and not have intimacy, so you can sit at a table and not have an intimate experience because it's not relational. And yet here Jesus is saying, when you come, this table is supposed to represent what the kingdom of God looks like. So what does the kingdom look like? I'm going to go to Ed Young. Ed Young is a pastor of a mega, mega, mega church in Dallas, and I like him. And Ed Young talks about the church as a table. It's an appropriate metaphor. We use that same metaphor when we talk about feasting at the kingdom of God in the end times. And who's at the table? Well, here, this is the head of the table. In your formal table at home, your daddy sat here. This is the table, the place where the host sits. At the table of the Lord, it is the Lord of hosts, Jesus Christ, who is the host of the table. We who are celebrants represent Christ in that venue. So here is me, representing Christ, the host of the meal. Now, according to Ed Young, every evangelical church ought to have this seat, and there ought to be 25% of the people in this seat. We're not an evangelical church, we're a mainline Protestant church, so the numbers will be different, but the concept is the same. He thinks 25% of the people associated with a church ought to be in this seat, and this seat is people who have not yet been introduced to Jesus or the church. Now, he says 25%. Can you imagine 25%? We worship not quite 100, but let's use 100 as our goal. That's 25 people who are hovering around here wanting to know about Vance and about Jesus. Then he says, there's this seat. This seat's fabulous. We love this seat. This seat is of people who have just been introduced to Jesus in the church. He says this is another 25%. These two people who are newbies, by his count, are 50%. Now again, we're mainline Protestants. Those numbers don't hold for us, but the concept is the same. Where are these people in the life of Vance? Where are these people in the life of mainline Protestantism? Where are the people we're introducing to the church and to Vance, the people we want to sit at table and have an intimate relationship with? And how are we going to do that? At the foot of the table here, we know these people well. These are the people that have been around forever. Some of them think they know everything and don't need to learn another thing. Some of them are committed followers of Jesus. And the committed followers of Jesus are the ones who really know that the place of honor in our church ought to belong to these people here, because they're the ones who need the most encouragement in the life of faith. This is a hard place to sit, because this requires advanced citizenship on our part. We have to sometimes put ourselves at the end of the line so that someone else might come first. And we are not geared as human beings to like that. Right? Then there's this chair. This is an important chair. If I'd gotten hold of Alan ahead of time today, I'd have him come up here and sit and cry and have a pacifier in his mouth, because he'd do it really well. This is the children's chair. Some of you know that I attend a different church than this on Sunday nights. It's edifying to me. I enjoy it. It's good. It is not traditional, and it is not Reformed. And that's a fine break for me, although it's not enough. But one of the things I do not like about the worship there is that when you walk into the front doors, people part, and the children go this way, and they go off to a separate wing all by themselves. And the adults go this, and the youth go this way into worship. Now, what happens over here with the children is magnificent. They learn, they have fun, they want to be there. This particular church has 150 kids a week in its kids programs. That's incredible. But when I worship, I miss them. See, here's the thing. The community benefits from having children in it. We who are old and shriveled and cynical need to hear babies coo and appreciate the miracles that they are. And remember our grandmothers and our mothers and our dads and our everyone who brought us to church when we were that same age and raised us up in the faith. We don't just keep children in worship for our own sakes, but for the sake of the whole community. And even as we have them here, so there are others who the community would miss if they weren't part of us. Here are some others. They're far away from the table. Some of them have deliberately chosen to be far away from the table. These people, you know these people. These people got mad and left. Because we changed the color of the carpet in the vestibule from red to off-red. Because we painted the sanctuary green to match somebody's daughter's wedding dress. Or something equally as whatever. Or these people got tired because they worked too hard and we worked them too hard and we didn't give them the opportunity to get rest in their work. Or these people didn't feel that intimate connection and relationship at the table, and so they wandered away. And some of them, thanks be to God, have wandered their way back. And some of them sit and watch, wondering what will happen here. Then there is another group of people here. I love these people. These are the people who tell you things like, I don't need to go to church because I sit home and watch Joel Osteen every week. Don't you love Joel Osteen? Isn't he fabulous? 60,000 people every week in his church. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands watching him. And he has convinced people they don't need to go to church because they can watch him on TV. What kind of intimate relationship with your peers are you having watching on TV? You never have to enact the work of discipleship in community if you never live in community. Beyond that, there is a group of people over here that we know that are somehow associated with Vance and yet are untouched by us. We know very little about them. People who listen to us on the radio. It would make my whole year, radio listeners, if just one of you would email and say, I'm out here and this is why I listen. I'm going to report back to you next week that nobody did that. But it would make my whole year if even one person did. We have scouts that are in this category. There are 100 scouts in this building on Mondays. We know very little about them. We have Woodsdale School in this category. We know very little about them, although we're learning more. And they are so grateful for what we're giving and what we're doing for them. The choir used to be in this category. We're figuring them out a little. We kind of like you and want you around. We'd like to know you better. It's why when we eat together, I keep saying, stop sitting in the corner by yourself. And you keep going, yeah, we won't do that. And then I look and there you are. Help me out a little, will you? We want to know you. We love you. We want you to know that this is your place. One of the things that was said to me when I came here was, we want this building used more. Okay. As of last week, we now have a new scout troop here, a new Girl Scout troop here, and the Red Cross has come to us asking 2 days a week to use the building for 2 days a month to use the building for blood drives because they cannot do it in the hospital anymore. How are we going to connect to those people? What are we going to do with them? See, the key to all of this is, how do we get these people here to this chair here? Because this chair here is the chair that's left open for people who want to come and be part of the table fellowship. Jesus says this chair here needs to be reserved for the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind and the ones who nobody would normally invite to their party. I would settle for the ones we haven't ever invited to the party, the Scouts, the Girl Scouts, the choir, the Woodsdale School folks, the radio ministry folks. There's got to be a way that if we make room at the table for these people, they can come and find an intimate relationship with God's followers that will lead them to an intimate relationship with God. See, that, my friends, is the whole point of this table, where we both remember and celebrate Jesus' sacrifice for us, where people will come from east and west and north and south to feast at the table in the kingdom of God. Here we represent God's kingdom for all people. A welcome table. Thanks be to God. Amen.